I grew up in a house with a great cook. My mom makes an amazing gumbo, super tender briskets, and the best salads you've ever had. But it wasn't my mother who cooked Thanksgiving when I was growing up. It was my grandmother's. And most people longed for their grandmother's Thanksgiving feasts. I did not. My grandmother's could not cook. My dad's mom, my mamaw, her specialty was brownies. And even those came from a box, and they had about a 50-50 chance of coming out burned. My mom's mom, we called her Margaret. Let's just say she kept the turkey in a closet. She said it was okay because the closet was cold. And it was. It was like 10 degrees colder than the rest of the house. But it was not like refrigerator cold. She did this for years before we discovered it. And it's a wonder that none of us died from some sort of bacteria. So Thanksgiving for me was a meal of bread. Crescent rolls, Sister Schubert, French bread. I would literally just pile up rolls and slices of French bread on my plate, and then I'd top it with the tiniest bit of turkey and a tiny dollop of whatever seafoam jello salad my grandmother had picked up at the store. Needless to say, I did not look forward to Thanksgiving as a kid, but the bread, it got me through. And now that I'm older and my grandparents are gone, it's my mom and my sisters and our spouses who make the Thanksgiving meal. And most of it is pretty delicious, but it's hard to shake those decades of bad meals. I still don't look forward to Thanksgiving the way most people do, because I don't have a great history with turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. As we approach Thanksgiving, I feel like most people dream of the feast that's coming. And this year, you could probably put me in that group as well. As we approach the Christmas season, people say that visions of sugar plums dance in their heads. And as we approach Thanksgiving, right now I'm having like visions of this dressing that Adam made on Friday night when we had a friend come in town. I've never been much of a dressing person, but this was the best. Mirlitons and shrimp, butter, the Trinity, French bread, it was amazing. So much so that we've already finished the entire pan in less than 24 hours, and there were only three of us in the house. People with visions of food dancing in their heads. These were the people Jesus was addressing in our text today. You see, just a few verses before, right at the start of chapter 6, Jesus performs the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So all the people are gathered around, and all they can think about is bread. All they can think about is fish. All they can think about is food. They're like us. Exactly like us as we approach Thanksgiving. But Jesus is trying to tell them that the food on the table isn't the point. The crowd comes looking for Jesus and responds, that you've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions when I fed the 5,000, but because I fed you. Because I filled your stomach. And then he continues, don't waste your energy striving for perishable food. Work for the food that sticks with you, the food that nourishes your lasting life. Food that nourishes your lasting life. The food that nourishes life. So what feeds us? Certainly, we have the actual food that we consume, the healthy fruits and vegetables, the lean meats, the proteins. These are the things that fill us, that physically keep us going, and if eaten in the right proportions, lead to a lasting life. But Jesus isn't getting in to nutrition today.
What feeds us?
I think we're each different. For me, people fill me. Time with close friends, time with family, spending time with people where I can just be myself, where I don't have to think about what I say or how I act. People. People feed me. But so does hiking, and so do long walks on the levee when the weather's perfect, like today. So does traveling to new places and experiencing new cultures. So does lounging in sweatpants and reading a book. So does watching a movie on the couch when it's raining outside. So does singing at the top of my lungs when I'm alone in the car. For me, these are the foods that nourish life. These are the things that make me come alive. But then Jesus takes it up a notch. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Because Jesus is right. Long hikes and movies on the couch and great nights with friends, all these things fill me. They make life worth living. But they don't quite quench the hunger. But Jesus is the bread of life, that sustaining force that fills us and fulfills us, that we may never hunger again. He's the one who desires not only that we think about him, but that we feed on him, that we ingest him, implying that we could starve without him. That we might starve to death without him. That's intense. So earlier I mentioned that I like reading, and that depending on the book, it's one of the things that feeds me. And I'm a huge fan of Jon Krakauer books. He's a journalist and an author that's written numerous bestsellers, several of which have been made into movies. He did Into the Wild and Into Thin Air. He writes about adventures and hiking, climbing, and anything extreme. I've read almost all of his books, but my favorite one is Into Thin Air. It's a nonfiction bestseller providing a personal account of the Mount Everest climbing disaster that he witnessed in May in 96, resulting in 8 deaths. Which at that time was the largest loss of life on Everest in one day. So after Krakauer reached the summit of Everest, he climbed back down to the camp. And in the meantime, one of his guides, Andy Harris, stayed too long at the peak. He started down, but he found himself very low on oxygen and a little disoriented from it. With not enough oxygen left in his canister to make the descent. Harris had a radio because he was the guide, and he called the base camp to let them know about his predicament. He let them know that he'd come across a pile of oxygen canisters left by other climbers, but that they were all empty. And all of the climbers who were on the other end of the radio at base camp, they'd passed these same canisters on their way down the mountain. And they knew that they were not empty canisters. They were full. But Harris was unswayed. He was convinced that they were empty. They all started pleading with him to use the oxygen canisters, but to no avail. Harris was adamant that those canisters were empty. And Harris was one of the 8 people who passed away that day on Everest. The lack of oxygen had left Harris confused. The problem was his lack of oxygen, the lack of what he needed most. It had left him so disoriented that though he was surrounded by something that would give him life, he couldn't see it. He couldn't believe it. The lack of oxygen had destroyed his capability to grasp what was right before his eyes.
As the body needs oxygen, the soul yearns for the bread of life. Many of us are suffocating and starving, and we don't even realize it. In the middle of our busy schedules, we don't understand why we're not fulfilled, why we still feel empty or alone. And Jesus is offering life to us while we run around trying to appease our own appetites. We will never be filled until we open ourselves to receive this bread of life, until we open ourselves to receive Jesus Christ. Too often we forget to seek what really matters. We look for fulfillment not in Christ, but instead through success in our careers, through the appearance of a perfect family, through making straight A's, maintaining a perfect physique, keeping a well-kept home. We look for fulfillment, and it's not that these are the wrong places. It's just that they're not the right one. Nothing we can do on our own accord can offer us the bread of life, the thing that fills us to our utmost. So as we prepare to gather around the table this week, let us remember that although we may feast on turkey and dressing and pies, it's not the food that actually fills us. It's about what fills our souls. It's about family and friends. It's about thanks. It's about Christ and Christ's presence within us that truly fills our souls and brings our relationships to life. Christ's table is set. The bread of life awaits. Let us eat. Amen.